people to gather together today to be able to worship you. And God, we think about that word, hallelujah. And God, it's just one of those words that you can't say bored. You can't say quietly. It is a word that just in the very essence of how it was created, it's something that causes a stir within us. That we would raise our voices, that we would raise our eyes, that we would raise our hope to you. And God, this morning, as we continue to worship through the teaching of the Word of God today, I pray that we would be challenged, that we would be spurred, that we would be encouraged, that we would be drawn closer to the person, the man or the woman that you have called us to be. And God, you've called us to be confident before you. And we thank you so much for that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're wrapping up our series today, You Decide, and it's all about perspective and how you see things. You know, before we get rolling this morning, I know they just slipped out. They're going to be back in here in just a minute, but I do want to just mention, I meant to do that at the beginning, but I was so out of breath and so excited that I forgot to share with you that Josh and Isaiah, Josh was over here and Isaiah was back here, both from Liberty University, who are friends of Caitlin and George's, came today especially just to kind of come and worship with you. Then, of course, their friends are right here as well, and I'm not going to just point them directly out. You can feel free to say hi. They were all kind of together during the quarantine time, so they came and hung out with us this week. So we had 9 college students with us this week, so thank you for praying. Okay, so we've been spending the last 6 weeks talking about perspective and how we see things, how we look at things, how we kind of look at the situations that we have and what our mind immediately defaults to. And so we've talked about specifically at this point in time 5 different things that God, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, God has called us to have these perspectives, to be able to look at things in the way that God would look at things. And those 5 things are, God has called us to be optimistic, not pessimistic. He's called us to be grateful or thankful. He's called us to be encouraging. He's called us to be generous. He's called us to be enthusiastic. And if you missed that week, I'd encourage you, man, go back and listen to all of them. But enthusiastic, it'll change your idea and your mindset. That the very word enthusiasm comes from the idea that you are in God's will. That's what the idea of enthusiasm means. It's that what the actual word means. But today we're going to talk about being confident. And so as we read through the verses today, when we get to that word confident or confidently, I'm going to just let you kind of shout that out, because my goal today is to really give you that encouragement to be confident in Christ in doing that. Now, confidence can kind of come in several different ways. And one of the ways that we often assume we hear the word confident is self-confidence, right? Have you ever met somebody who was overly and incorrectly self-confident? You ever met somebody like that, right? The 5'3" guy who's talking smack about how he's going to dunk over you, and you're like, yeah, right. Touch the net, buddy, and we'll talk about that later, right? Or the city boy who walks into the farmer's community and begins to talk to the farmers about how they should be planting their crops better. Or the suburban mom who thinks she can rap just like Cardi B and dance like Shakira, right? It's like, no, that's not going to happen. You can't do that. And here's the thing about self-confidence, right? Self-confidence eventually will betray us. It'll fall apart. It won't work. And that's if you're lucky. Because more often than not, what happens is that self-confidence betrays you, usually in a very public way. You're like, oh, I can do this. And you get up and you start doing it and you fall flat on your face. And it's embarrassing and it's humiliating because you tried to do something that you should have never attempted in the first place. There's that old expression that nothing good ever happens when somebody says, here, hold my beer, right? Something always bad happens after that. Or, hey, watch this. You know, it's like, okay, then everyone. And what's great is that, you know, in my day, as I was growing up, if you will, there were no cell phones or way to record anything. So all the stupid stuff that I did as a teenager and young adult, there is no record of whatsoever. Those of you that right now are still in the process of the stupid stuff time period, it's all being recorded for the end of time. So it's like one of those things, right? You just have to process and work through it. But as Christians, our confidence should never come from ourself. It should never come from inside of us to the outside of us. Now, we can be confident in certain things, right? that we do over and over and repeatedly and repeatedly. We know that we do that. Like I shared on Live with Dave on Wednesday, you know, none of you probably woke up this morning and really had to pray to Jesus to give you the confidence to be able to tie your shoes. You've done that a million times. You probably didn't even think about it. It's just part of the process. So there's things like that that we're not talking about that. We're talking about like going through life and doing your mission and your purpose. And our confidence in God becomes reality when we know God, right? You have to know God to have confidence in God. Now, I know that sounds very simplistic, but it's really a powerful thing because some people want to have confidence in God, but yet they never take time to know God. And we're going to talk about three ways you can know God that will actually help grow your confidence. And the more that you know God, the more your confidence in God actually grows. So as your relationship with God grows, so your confidence and your strength in God's power and his faithfulness, because it gets proven in your life over and over and over again. Those of you that have been followers of Jesus Christ for a long time, you can look back in the history of your life from the times that you thought it was all over with, or you couldn't do it, or you couldn't accomplish it, and you prayed and you asked God for help, and God stepped in and he helped you, and you're like, you have that history. Those of you that are new Christians, you're like, I don't have that history. Where am I supposed to go to get confidence? And that's why God, one of the reasons that God gives us the Bible, so we can actually take the Bible and read about people in the past who stepped out in faith and in the confidence of God, and were able to do certain things. We go, man, I want to experience that in my life. I want to experience the confidence of God to be able to do all that God has called me to do and become all that God has called me to become. And the truth is, the more we know God, the more confident we can become. And so that's kind of the big idea today. It's really simple. If this is your first time with us, I always give kind of a big idea. Everything else kind of hangs off of this. So if you miss anything else this morning, don't miss this. And it's simply this. I am confident. I am confident because I know my God. I am confident because I know my God. I'm not confident because I know of God. I'm not confident because I know about God. I'm not confident because I can regurgitate all these verses about God. I'm confident because I know my God. We have relationship. We know one another. Now, I may not know everything about God, but I know his character. And see, that's the thing that's so powerful about the confidence, having confidence in God. Even when things are crazy and chaotic, you can go, wait. I know my God, and I know his character, and I know his character is faithful and true. And so therefore, even though the circumstances of life may be filled with chaos covered in crazy, I know my God, and I know his character. And so I can trust in that. I can have confidence in that. So Psalm 57, I love this. Psalm 57, verse 7 says this, and it says this, my heart is, see, y'all forgot what I told you at the very beginning, that every time we come to that word, you're going to say it nice and loud with us. Here we go. My heart is, right? My heart is confident. Why? Oh God, my heart is, no wonder I can sing your praises. Now see, this is David. He's writing Psalm 57. Listen, my heart is confident in you. I know you. I know your character. I know who you are. I know how you've bailed me out time after time after time. My heart is confident in you. And so even in, as we sang this morning, even in the middle of the storm, I can still praise you. Even when things aren't going the way that I want them to go, I can still give you praise. I can still be thankful for who you are and what you're doing in my life because I am confident in my God. My heart, and see, I love this because this is where we really struggle. Let's just be honest, okay? This is where we really struggle. It's in our emotions, right? In fact, here's what I've learned over the years, both when I'm counseling myself, because that happens often. You don't ever want to walk in the room when that happens because it's kind of weird to look like I'm nuts. But when I'm counseling other people and we're talking about stuff and I go, you know, the Bible says this. And they're like, yeah, I know that. But my heart, see, that's where we get tripped up. We allow our emotions to dictate what we truly believe to be true. If we feel it, therefore it must be true. And unfortunately, our entire world has adopted this concept. You've heard the expression, well, that's my truth. No. There's truth, and then there's not truth. Okay? this platform is a particular color. Can anyone tell me what this platform color is? Black. It is black, okay? So you're like, I don't know. I really don't know. It's black. It is black. It's not gray. It's not purple. It's not orange. You're like, well, yeah, but my truth is it's green. No, you're wrong. Because truth is truth. What is 1 + 1? Okay, is it ever 17? No, because it's truth, right? And so when we understand this and we look at this, we're like, wow, okay, when we understand God, we can have a confidence in him. No matter how we feel, we can have confidence in who God is because of his character. And so we look at this. My goal today is to do really two specific things. First of all, I want to share with you in Scripture how we can know about God and how we can have hope in him and how we can have confidence in him. And so my goal is two things. First of all, that it will cause your confidence in God to grow. So maybe you walked into here today and all the stuff that's been going on and all the chaos and the uncertainty of different things, your confidence in God has kind of been eroded. And you're like, ah, man, this is tough. This is difficult to see. This is difficult to really place my faith in the way that I used to. And so my goal is if that's you today, when you walk out of here, I want you brimming with confidence of Christ, right? The second thing is that it will ignite your passion to get to know God better yourself. Because I'm going to share some things that I know about my God. My hope is that as you're sitting there, you will go, man, I want to know that God more, or I know that truth. I just needed to be reminded of that truth about my God. Because the reality is my God is your God, right? If you've accepted Jesus Christ, we serve the same God. So everything I'm going to be telling you today isn't like, oh, that's David's God. I really wish I had David's God. No, it's the same God, right? We serve the same God. So everything I'm going to tell you, you can embrace yourself. But the reality is, unless you take the initiative to get to know God better, some of these things won't ever become reality in your life. Because you will know about God, but you won't know God. And so my hope is that you will truly embrace these things. So here's the first thing that you need to know about my God. I know that my God is always for me. I know that my God is always for me. I love that song that we sing, you know, Who You Say I Am, and it says, you know, you are for me, not against me. I know you. I am who you say that I am, not who I think I am, not who I've been beaten down to believe that I am, but I know who you say that I am. Because God, my God, is always for me, never against me. Do you know when God had that conversation with Noah back in Genesis? He says, Noah, I want you to build me a boat. Isn't it great that after he goes, Noah, I want you to build me a boat. I want you to build me an ark. He didn't say, good luck with that. But rather, he goes, okay, I want you to build me an ark. Now, I want to give you detailed plans. Write all this stuff down. This will be important. It will be on the test later. Write all this down. So he gave him all these specific and detailed instructions about how to build the ark. And when God showed up to Joshua, says, Joshua, I want you to storm and take Jericho, the city that has been undefeated. It's got walls so thick the two chariots can race on top of it side by side. It has never been toppled. It will never be toppled. The world believes it is an impregnable fortress. And so Joshua, I want you to take Jericho. Good luck. No, he goes, listen, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a detailed plan, and you're going to walk around the city every day for 7 days, and on the seventh day, you're going to walk around it 7 times, and then you're going to shout, and Joshua's going, I'm not so sure about this plan. This doesn't seem, you know, I think you're going to be a laughing stock, and on the seventh time, the seventh day around, and they shouted, the walls just collapsed on top of themselves, because my God is always for me. He's always working in the process. God has a purpose and a plan and a life mission for you. And as you pursue God's plan, that's really important. As you pursue God's plan, God is always going to be for you. He always has your back. He's always leading the way. He is all in with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Paul's doing this dialogue about all these powerful truths about God. And then he gets to verse 31, and I can almost sense in my spirit that he is shouting this. He goes, so if God is for us, who can ever be against us? If you're standing in the middle of a field all by yourself and an army is approaching, but God is standing behind you, guess who's going to win? It's not going to be the army with the sword and the shield and all the different things that are coming up against you. It's going to be you, because your God is for you. If you are following his plan and your purpose for his life, he is always there. He is always there. If God gave you that plan, then God will see that plan through to the end. If God showed you the way, he will always lead you down the clear path ahead. If God called you to it, he will always see you through it. And there isn't anything or anyone that will ever be able to keep you from becoming the man or the woman that God has called you to be, except you. The only part of the equation about you becoming all that God has called you to be is you. Because, man, God is for you. And if God is for you, it doesn't matter who is against you. You will become all that God has called you to be. You will accomplish. You will make a difference. You will change your world. You will do what God has called you to do, because your God is for you. And it doesn't matter who is against you. The only person that can stop you is you. And that's where our confidence is so important. You know, sometimes, in all honesty, it's easier to quit, isn't it? It's really easy to just go, done. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like just throwing in the towel? Because sometimes, and this is where, again, we got to go back to our emotions, right? That's where David goes, listen, my heart is confident in you. Because our emotions get the best of us. And we say things like this, and it's almost laughable after the fact, but we say things like, the whole world is against me. Anyone ever been there? Seriously, anyone been there? Okay, good, good. I'm glad I'm not the only idiot in the room. That's good, because I felt that way. And then when I get, you know, a sense of normalcy and I get my emotions back under a check, I'm like, 99.9% of the world doesn't even know you exist. The whole world is not against you. That is an exaggeration. That is an overwhelming exaggeration of reality. But it feels that way. And so that's why we go back to what David says. My heart is confident in you. And you may feel like the whole world is against you, but remember, God is for you. The whole world may in actuality be against you, but God is for you. And you have to remember that there is no one and nothing that can stand against you if God is for you. And there is no reward for those who quit. There's no blessing for those who sit. There's no glory for those who throw in the towel. It may feel easier. It may feel like that's what you need to do. But the reality is that if God is for you, then we should never, ever lose our confidence in Christ. Listen to this verse, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. And get ready. Here it comes again. So do not throw away this what? Don't throw it away. You've got confidence in Christ because you know the character of God. So don't just casually throw that away and say, but my emotions feel. But rather embrace the confidence and the confident trust that we have in God. And remember, and I love this, the great reward it brings for you. Because here's the thing, if you sit on the sideline, then you don't get the joy of the victory. You don't get it. And it may be scary, and it may be difficult, and you may feel like your back is up against the wall, but never forget that your God is for you. And he will never let you down. And the blessings that we get, blessings like the sense of fulfillment and achievement and the blessing of who we are and purpose. And really, the coolest part when you think about it is this. When you die, that's not the cool part, but when you die and you stand before Christ who gave it all for you, who died on the cross, who was thinking specifically of you when he said, "It is finished." You will stand and look to him face to face, and he will look at you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What an unbelievable reward we have awaiting for us if we will simply continue to be confident. I know my God is always for me. The second thing is I know my God will always help me. I know my God will always help me. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with, that wasn't confidently confident. Okay, let's try that again. So we say with, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and so I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Let me ask you, are you confident? Are you confident that God will help you? Are you truly confident that God will help you? Have you ever felt like God led you to the edge of a cliff or the end of a limb or the bottom of a rope and then he disappeared? And I'm not asking you because I'm going, "No, y'all better be good little Christians," and say, "No, I've never felt that." Because then you're not being good little Christians because you're lying. Because if you read through the pages of Scripture, you will see that a lot of people at different times felt that way. But again, we remember, my heart is confident. Not my emotions, my heart is confident. And so we teach our emotions to believe the truth about God. And the truth that Jesus Christ is teaching us through the writer of Hebrews is, never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you. I will always be there. So even in the darkest moment, even when you need the greatest help, don't be afraid, because I'm right there. I'm right there. And so if at this point in time you feel like you're just running in place, like, "Man, am I on the treadmill of life? What is going on? How are we going to achieve this? How are we going to get through this? How are we going to maximize this? What are we going to do?" I want to tell you, I have felt all of those things. All of them. I've experienced all of those things. In fact, quite frankly, this whole corona deal has been just killing me. I'm not going to lie. If you're a leader in any way, shape, or form, if you're a small business owner, for crying out loud, if you're trying to homeschool your kids, bless your heart, we sprinkle, you know. I mean, my goodness, right? You're a teacher, and you're going, "Computer? Well, I have to speak into, how am I supposed to, what?" And it's just crazy. And we all feel it. We all feel that overwhelming thing. And, you know, all the stuff that happened this week, and I'm like going, "So we're going to have to cancel doing services again? How are we going to do all this stuff?" It's chaotic. It's crazy. It's like we're trying to make decisions based upon a third of the information. And it doesn't feel like things are going the way they're supposed to go. And because of those emotions, our confidence can be shaken. So I want to share with you a verse that I love. In fact, it's kind of a brother to the verse that I love, Nahum 1:7. If you want to look that up later, I encourage you to. It's really my verse, if you will. But this is kind of a brother verse to it. It says this, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge. He's our refuge. He's a place that we can go and we can find safety. We can be protected by him. Doesn't mean the storm goes away. It just means that he walks through with us during the storm. He's always there to help us. God is our refuge and our strength. Do you feel weak? Do you feel overwhelmed? Allow the strength of God to flow in with you so that you can regain that confidence. And I love how he ends it. He goes, and our ever-present help in trouble. He is always there. You may not feel him. You may not see him. You may not be experiencing him. But folks, I tell you, he is right there. And what's amazing is that he is doing stuff behind the scenes, working it out for his glory and for your benefit, because that's what Scripture tells us, because we are more confident in the character of God than the feelings from within. Psalm 27, 1 through 3 says this, the Lord is my light. I love that, right? Any of you, like, let's just be honest. Any of you scared of the dark, legit scared of the dark? Okay, a few of you are good. Okay, cool. So really, to me, it's always funny when you watch, like, and I used to watch him when I was younger. I don't watch him anymore because I have a life. But these horror movies, you know what I'm talking about? You ever notice that horror movies don't ever take place in the middle of the day? Like, you can see everything. You can see the guy in the hockey mask, 300-400 yards away, and he's kind of jogging towards you, and you're like, I guess I better wait till he gets here. Or, hey, let's go off in separate places and go look for things, because that always ends well. But here's the reality. We think of dark and we think of bad. We think of dark and we think of evil. We think of dark and we think of the absence of God. And so I love what he writes. He says, the Lord is my light. He brightens any dark corner. He removes any shadow. There is nothing that we have to fear when we understand who God is, because he is my light and he is my salvation. And whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be... What a cool verse. I love that verse. David's like, bring it on. Because you see who's behind me? I'm terrified. But you see who's behind me? Because my confidence is rested in him. And in the moment of need, God is always there. He is always there to help me. Last thing. I know that my God is always for me. I know that my God will always help me. And the third thing is this. I know my God is still working in me. I know my God is still working in me. You ever feel like a fraud? Like, if people knew the real me, fill in the blank. You see, I've come to believe that one of the greatest weapons in Satan's arsenal is to undermine the truth of who God says you are. That he wants to make you feel less than, unimportant, unconsidered, a side note at best. And so, again, emotionally, we know all of our failures. We know all of our struggles. We wake up to the same face in the mirror. We see our bedhead. We know. And so we feel sometimes like we're fraud. Maybe at work you have some type of a leadership position, and people come to you and they go, hey, we've got to figure this out. And in your mind, you're thinking, I don't have a clue how to fix this. and you feel, I should have the answer to this. I should know this. And so you sit there and you listen to them and you're like, well, maybe try this. And they walk away and inside you're going, man, please don't blow up in your face. I hope this works. Because inside of you, there is a battle that's going on. There is God saying, you are more because I am in you. And then there is your own heart saying, but I know the real you. And so often we let that real you, quote unquote, image of ourselves undermine and overwhelm what God has actually said about us. And so in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the writer Paul says this, being, okay, y'all, come on now, being what?
Confident.
Being confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, that means God has begun the good work of transforming you. He has begun the good work of changing you into who he wants you to be. And here's what Satan loves to do. He loves to say, well, look at who God says you're supposed to be and look at where you are. And what you need to do is you need to combat that with this. I may not be who I'm supposed to be, but I'm not who I was. You get that? Because he always wants you to look at the bar that you've not reached. And God goes, no, 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 no. Look at who you were. Look at how you've transformed over the years. You may not be who you're supposed to be yet, but that's because the time isn't right. But you are not who you were. Focus on what I've called you to be. Maybe you've been in a holding pattern for a while in your life. You feel like you're just waiting on God to do something. Or maybe you've even feared that God has stopped working through you. People say things like, well, just wait till you get to heaven and you'll be rewarded. I always find it's interesting, the older that we are, the more we begin to think about heaven, right? Oh, I just can't wait to get to heaven. And that's great. Can we be honest? That's a good thing. Excited about that. Definitely, given the alternative, super excited about that. But what about now? What about now? What about in this lifetime? Will we ever get to see what God has for us now? You see, oftentimes when we talk about salvation, it's always talking about the future and eternal life and spending time with God and being in heaven and not having to go to hell because Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross and he said, it is finished. And he paid for all of your sins. So if you accept Jesus Christ, you can have eternity with God. But do you know what's amazing? When Jesus Christ came, he didn't just talk about heaven. He talked about now. He said, I have come so that you may have life in all of its fullness. So here's what I want to challenge you with. In this particular aspect, I want to challenge you, if you feel, if your emotions have been telling you that God is done working through you, that God is done doing anything for you, that God is done helping you or leading you, I want you to pray this prayer. God, help me see. Because it's not that God's not working, it's just that you haven't seen it. Psalm 27, I love this. It's David again, and he says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Heaven's going to be awesome. It's going to be unbelievable. But David says, guess what? The land of today, your life right now, you are prepped and prepared to see the goodness of God. And then he gives us this wonderful thing, if you wait for it. He says, just wait for the Lord. be strong. And he ends the way that we began. Take heart. Don't allow your emotions to trip you up, to undermine the confidence that you have in Christ, but instead, wait for the Lord. He will always be there for you. He will always help you. He will always be working for your benefit and for His glory. So I want to challenge you to do something this week. Number one, commit to knowing your God more. Spend some time this week in your Bible, whether it's the Bible app, YouVersion, whether it's your physical Bible, whether you're printing stuff off or reading it on your laptop or popping a CD or whatever into your car as you're listening to it, whatever. Spend time getting to know your God more, because the greater your relationship, the more confidence that you will have in being able to live this life confidently for Christ. One of the ways you can do that is coming to the Old Testament workshop. We encourage you to come and find out how God worked through people in the Old Testament. Maybe this morning, you don't know God yet. You're like, hey, this is cool. Understand who God is, but I don't know God personally. Let me share with you just how much God wants to have a relationship with you. John chapter 3, verse 16. This is Jesus Christ himself talking, and he says this: for God so loved the world, and that's you. In fact, as we read that, I want you to hear your name in that. For God so loved David. For God so, that's my name. If that's not your name, you shouldn't hear that. For God so loved that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life doesn't begin at your death. It begins the moment that you believe. It begins the moment that you say yes to God. So I'd like to ask you, if you would, just to bow your heads and close your eyes, because I'd like to just talk with you this morning. If you've never made that decision, if you've never taken that step of faith and said yes to Christ, I want to walk you through that this morning. If you said, Dave, I want to know God, I want to experience the eternal life that begins in this life now, how do I do that? You simply believe. I'd like to lead you through a really simple prayer that just expresses that belief, and it goes something like this. And you can pray this in your heart, you can pray this in your mind, and it goes like this: Dear God, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin, for my failure, for my shortcomings. I want to live confidently before you. So I accept Jesus Christ. For those of you this morning that are already followers of Jesus Christ, but maybe you're struggling in the area of confidence, I want to pray for you. Dear God, I pray for every believer that's here, every believer that's watching or listening online. God, I pray that they would just embrace the character of God that doesn't change. Our circumstances may change. Our situations may change. The rules of life around us may change, but you are always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray that every believer would embrace that truth and say, I have confidence in the character of my God. That we would leave this place, that we would live this week with a boldness and a confidence, believing that if you brought us to it, you will see us through it. We thank you so much for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.